November Tango, your code 41 acknowledged. P Division, code 41. P Division, code 41.
Torchman by Peter Turnbull. Dramatized by Stephen Mulrein. Torchman.
Hello, good morning. I'm Detective Inspector Donahue. You have a fire victim, I believe, brought in a short while ago.
Oh, yes. There's another police officer already here. Oh, at least he was here.
Oh, that's fine, thanks. Yes, I see him. Abernethy.
Oh, good morning, sir. I didn't expect to see you.
Not at this time, is that it? I'd half forgotten this hour existed.
Well, I wouldn't mind if they scrapped it altogether, to be honest. Is that everything wrapped up with the Sadie French investigation now, sir?
Well, we're charging her with murder, yes. One only. I think she feels she's won a moral victory.
So what'll happen to her?
Oh, well, I don't know. It's one of those cases I'm glad I'm not the judge or jury. I think there'll be a lot of sympathy for her motive, what that animal did to her kid brother. But keeping him alive for 2 days before dousing him with petrol, well, there's got to be some doubt about her sanity. Possibly manslaughter on the grounds of diminished responsibility.
About 10 years, you think, sir?
Yep. And out in about half that time with good behaviour.
Well, it's not as if she's a risk to the public now.
I suppose not. Meanwhile...
This one's a 77, sir. That's all they can tell us at present.
Abernethy, I am tired.
Sorry, sir. I've been learning A and E speed. The first digit is reason for admission. Second digit is for leaving the department. 7 is the code number for thermal injuries, and the second 7 means they've died in the department without going elsewhere in the hospital.
So he was alive when they brought him in?
Yes, sir. The team actually worked flat out on him for 2 hours. I think the fact they'd heard he was a Torchman victim made them even more determined. That's possible. A younger person might have had more will to live, they reckon, but...
You were with them?
Yes, sir.
Yes. A code 77 for the GRI, but a code 41 for us. It's still murder. Abernethy, are you feeling all right?
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm trying not to think about it. The jargon sort of helps. That's 2 in as many shifts. Thermal injuries. I wouldn't want to go like that.
Few of us do, son, thank God. So Dr. Reynolds will look at him in due course. Meanwhile, what do we know about him?
Well, not much, sir. Elderly male, believed to be of Kilbury Street Gang Gad.
Another East Ender. And an old man, you see?
Yes, sir. About the same age as my father. Lives on his own. Anyway, the locus is cordoned off. A few crimes are there. Close fingerprints. Mr. Bothell wasn't too happy at being called out at this hour, but he came.
Good. He'll do a good job. If there's a latent anywhere that's foreign to the locus, Bothell will find it.
I'm sorry, sir. The entire hospital's a smoke-free zone. Even the nurses have to go outside for a fag.
Habit. Can't think without a pipe going. I wonder if I should drive out to the locus.
Are you sure, sir? It's after 3:30 and you've a long drive to Edinburgh. If you don't mind me saying, I once had the experience of nearly nodding off at the wheel. On the M8, as it happened.
No, I know. No, I'm not even going to attempt that. There's a camp bed being made up in my office. This man has to be caught, Abernethy. Don't let it get to you. He will be caught. This is the 3rd. He's not going to make it 4.
Well, it is 4, sir, according to the record. They still think the Sadie French murder was torture.
Yes, of course. We'll have to sort that out. But it can wait. So what's your next move?
Well, I've still to take statements from the ambulance crew that brought him in, sir. They had to rush out to a code 2. That's their code, not ours. A self-mutilation somewhere in the West End. Oh, that's the taxi, sir. The PVA coming in. I think we're in the way.
Okay, Abernethy. Follow on when you can.
Aye. It's a thing of getting old, right enough.
What is?
First it was a bus cruise that looked young. Then it was a postman. Now it's a polis. You're polis, right?
How can you tell?
Don't need a uniform, you know. It's just that look. It says, I know something you don't know.
That's a new one.
Right? That's experience. It's when the CVAs start to look young. You're really getting past it.
CVAs?
Heart attacks. When I was a wean, I thought heart attacks happened to old men. Maybe they still do. A 37's old.
37?
Guy we brought in yesterday. 37. Heart attack. Young family. Yeah. Isn't it justice? You hear about that code 77? That Torchman guy.
You could say.
That's one sick individual, pal. We've been at this a long time, me and the mate. I tell you, we were shaken up by that, Ian.
I can well believe it.
Aye. And then straight out to the next horror story. Some woman cuts herself up, because her boyfriend's walked out on her. Suicide. Solves everything, you know. Like you can cure your sprained wrist by amputating your arm.
I've never thought of it like that.
You self-inflicted scheme with a pip. I mean, if I'd been a pilot, me mate, I'd give her a needle and thread and let her go on with it personally. But she'd made a really good job. Both wrists. It's all cost consciousness these days as well. You see these blankets? Hundreds of quid's worth of new blankets. Issued to us this morning. Even smell new. And you know what I'm going to do with them?
Tell me.
Burn them. Put them in black bin liners. Seal them in. And then burn them. It's the HIV panic. That one had track marks up her arm. She's spilling blood. And that's all it takes. All these blankets will need to be replaced. Plus the vehicle gets disinfected. All that money. And all that ambulance time just because one druggie walks out in another.
Looks like you had a tough night.
Nah. Normal, I'd say. These days anyway. All the cushy bits of the service have been privatised. Of course, all the nice wee escort jobs. So we see the police. In uniform, out of uniform. That's how I can spot you.
Can I ask you about the incident in Kilbury Street?
Oh, aye. Yeah. I'll not forget that in a hurry. I can cope with most things. But thermal injury. See what fire can do to a person. I mean, I've seen guys with their legs turned to ash. In a top half, untouched. Happens in enclosed spaces sometimes. Like if a fire runs out of oxygen. That's where all that rubbish about spontaneous combustion comes from. Hellish, just the same.
Well, I can imagine. So, what about this morning?
Well, your guys in the fire service were already there when we got them. Nearly saved them and all. He was burning the legs real bad up to the waist. Apparently a neighbour had smothered them, got the flames out. But there was a lot of damage. He was unconscious when we arrived at A&D. Died shortly afterwards, so I'm told.
You didn't happen to see anybody?
What do you mean, in Gamgad? At that time of day? Listen, pal. The world and his mother were out in Kilbury Street. Especially when word got round it was a torch man. All hanging about in their cam and rollers and their slippers. Cans a super lager to keep out the cold.
But you didn't see anybody in particular? Anything suspicious?
Well, I didn't see anybody running away with a box of matches in their hands, no. But it's funny you should say that. I remember reading once that a racing driver can recognise a face in the crowd. You know, going fast at 180 mile an hour. I mean, I wasn't doing anything like that. But we're travelling, you know. And I just catch sight of this guy under a street lamp in Royston Road. Looked like he was out for a run, you know. But a really weird look in his chipper he had.
How do you mean?
Well, sort of disappointed. I don't know how else to describe it. Like he was brassed off at us for being there.
What did he look like?
Sort of pointy features. What you would call rat-faced.
You think he might have been coming from Kilbury Street?
Well, that direction. He'd need to have got his skates on, mind you, if it was him that lit the fire. Nah, it's just weird.
You couldn't give us a bit more on it?
Well, like I say, I got a sort of fix on him. That wee rat face. In some sort of shell suit or track suit. White trainers.
What about his age? Within 5 years, say.
A young guy. I'd say 18 or 19. He looked really cheesed off. That's what I remember.
Inspector Donoghue.
Yes, hello. I'm Senior Fire Officer here. Campbell's the name. That's us finished now. There's no danger of recombustion, so I'll hand over to you if you don't mind. What time have you got?
I make it 0347, right?
0347, yep, agreed. Another torchman then?
Seems like it. We thought we had this one cracked too just this evening.
Really?
Yeah. We arrested a woman for the Parkhead murder yesterday morning.
Oh, yes. Red Watch attended that one. We got the details from them at the changeover. This is Blue Watch. The shift nothing ever happens on, so they tell me. And you thought you'd got somebody for the Quarrybury Street fire?
Yeah, we did. We do have, in fact. She's been charged.
It was a woman, you say?
Yes. Revenge killing. Pretty grim way to settle a score. We were in the process of quizzing her, would you believe, when this one came in. So she's not Torchman, unfortunately.
No, not unless she's got hidden powers. Well, all I can do is wish you luck. This is one job that makes me glad I'm not a policeman. Incidentally, you know this was phoned in. Someone in the flat one up left, name of Chapman. The ambulance crew were going to take him in, treat him for shock, I think, but he's presumably okay.
Oh, thanks, I'll put somebody under it. Meanwhile, I think I'll hand this over to the scene of crime boys and head back myself. Pass the parcel for the minute.
Aye, it's some parcel.
We'll go through Kirk Gardens, I think. Then take a turn along Woodlands. See what's still not in its bed.
Tango Delta Foxtrot, what's your position? Come in, Tango Delta Foxtrot.
Roger, control. This is Tango Delta Foxtrot. We're just coming through Pinkston Road, headed for Cowcaddens. Over.
Okay, Tango Delta Foxtrot. There's a domestic disturbance in Saracen Street. Tango Echo Sierra's nearer. They'll attend. Thank you. Over and out.
Bully for them.
Yeah, there's one thing we don't need, it's a domestic imposter. Hey, what's that guy doing?
Jogging by the looks of it. Do you see any tools?
I'll pull up, will I?
Aye, if you want.
Morning, sir. Hey! Hey! Hang on, just a word.
What can I do for you?
Do you mind telling me where you're going? I mean, you're out for a run, obviously, but it's a funny time.
Well, yeah, I'm on my way home to return now again. You get the roads to yourself this time of night. I'm training for the marathon, so I can't get to sleep anyway. I'm an insomniac, so this suits me.
Uh-huh. So where is it you stay?
Hammond Park Drive, the West End, at number 11.
That's some distance. So, how far did you run, mister? Did I get your name?
It's Flowers, Thomas Flowers. Actually, I got as far as Black Hill and then I turned around. I usually drive about 50 miles.
Black Hill?
Yeah. There was a lot of activity, fire engines and stuff. I thought I'd just call it a night.
You didn't happen to see anything suspicious?
No.
Okay, Mr. Flowers. Sorry to trouble you. You don't need a lift back to the West then?
No, I get cramped. I've got to keep my name. Thanks, just a second.
Okay.
Nothing suspicious in Black Hill. Guy must jog with his eyes shut. Phil, are you happy to leave it like that? I mean, I know I'm new to this beat, but technically, he is running away from the locusts.
Are you serious?
Well, I don't know. If you were training for the marathon in this city, would you run west to east? And that's an expensive pair of trainers. He'd be going back home in his bare feet. Assuming he could still walk.
Yeah. I think I'd head out to Great Western Road if it was me.
Yeah, well, in a sense, it is me. See, I'm training for the marathon, did you know that? And the training program's very structured, I can tell you. You don't start doing 10 to 15 miles regularly till a couple of weeks before the event itself. And this is November.
Yeah.
So, the Glasgow Marathon isn't till early summer. Something's rotten in the state of Denmark.
Nah, too complicated. It's probably just a straightforward nutter. I mean, a marathon runner, all that pavement pounding. You know what it's supposed to do to your brain?
Hey, watch it, Hamilton.
go in. He's in the living room. He's in a state of shock, but he'll no go to the hospital. I'm his daughter, by the way. You know we had a murder just above us last week? A woman and a man.
Yeah, we know about that.
I know this. Old Mr. Muir, poor old soul. Dad, is the police wanting to talk to you?
Yeah. Are you okay, Mr. Chapman? I'm DC King. Are you feeling all right? You know, I think your daughter's right. We'll have to get you to hospital.
I'm fine, I'm fine. I'll be brand new after a wee sleep.
You shouldn't underestimate shock, Mr. Chapman.
That's what I'm telling him.
Shock? No. Well, I've been in shock before. In the army.
You should see a doctor.
There's no need.
Dad.
All right, I'll go. I'll go. Just heard him. Yell. You know? I have difficulty sleeping. I heard him screaming. I went down the stair. The door was open. I heard him screaming. I could see the flames. He wasn't moving. Just standing there. Looking down at the flames. I don't know what I did. I flung something round him. I can't remember. I think I phoned the fire brigade. I don't know. I ran back down the stairs. Listen. I saw the guy that done it.
You saw him?
Aye, I saw him. Out in the street, running away. A young fella. Across the street. Watching. Then he runs away.
Mr. Chapman, can you give us a description?
A young guy, as I said, wearing a tracksuit, one of the shell suits. You know, he wasn't moving. Just stands there, looking at the flames and screaming.
You'll need to get him to the hospital.
Just stands there. Like he can't believe it.
Morning, Ray. Is that coffee?
Yes, sir.
Ah, that's great. That'll sweep the last of the cobwebs away. You can fill me in on what's happened, if you like.
Well, Mrs. Donoghue phoned around 7:30 this morning.
Oh, God, I forgot the phoner. It's me in the doghouse.
That's okay, sir. I explained what happened, and she drove over with a change of clothes for you.
Oh, she did?
Yes, sir. She dropped the children off at school and came straight over.
And you didn't wake me up?
Actually, at Mrs. Donoghue's insistence, sir.
Oh. What have I done to deserve this, eh? Oh. Hmm. Help yourself, Ray. So, what's the state of play?
Well, DC King's got a description from the neighbour that found Mr. Muir. Thinks it could be the perpetrator. Young man in a dark tracksuit, white trainers. And a patrol car stopped a man in the small hours at the same description.
Stopped him?
Yes, sir. PCs Hamilton and Piper spotted him in the Pinkston Road area. Thought it was a bit peculiar, somebody jogging at that time.
Yes, that neck of the woods, certainly. And they let him go?
Well, they'd no reason not to, sir. DC King didn't get a description till later. They got a name and address, though.
Oh, thank God for that.
He gave his name as Flowers, an address in Hamilton Park Drive.
And?
Well, the address exists, but he doesn't live at it, nor does any of that description. Hamilton Park Drive's not much of a street, though. He'd probably have to live in the West End to know it existed. Oh, and Piper reckons he spoke with a West End accent.
Oh, dear God, Professor Higgins, yeah. This case is lurching from one cock up to the next, Ray.
Well, there's one other point, sir. Piper's a marathon runner, apparently, which is what this guy told him he was. And he doesn't buy it. Piper thinks he'll have a car parked somewhere in the centre of town.
Oh, you think he jogs in and out of the East End to some sort of cover while setting fire to the leeches? What does the lad read, for God's sake? How would he carry the petrol? I mean, what have we got here, Ray? Leaving aside Piper's inspired guesses.
Well, sir, we actually now have three descriptions, including one by the nearest thing we've got to a witness. Immediately after the incident, a thin-faced man, 19 or 20, wearing a black or dark-coloured tracksuit and light-coloured trainers. And Tango Delta Foxtrot pulled this man up just past Royston Road within moderate running distance of the Locust and got a false address for the pains. I mean, we've gone further and left, sir.
Oh, well, maybe you're right, Ray. It strikes me that maybe Mr. Flowers gave us his own name. It's hardly your classic A.K.A. Right. Get Montgomery in early. Put him onto the car. You know the drill. Check with DVLC. Any vehicle registered to that name, age 17 to 24, say, in the west of Scotland. Oh, and I think we want to talk to an ologist on this one.
An ologist?
Ray, unless they've renamed Berlini, there are now three universities in this town. Where else would you go for a psychological profile? See if you can get me an appointment with somebody from Strathclyde or Glasgow this afternoon, if possible. Fax them everything we've got into the Torchman murders. Get them up to speed before I speak to them, okay? Oh, and call in Montgomery now, if you can find him. I know he's on the back shift, but we need the manpower. Now, anything else?
Yes, Dr. Reynolds called from the GRI. He'll have the post-mortem report ready by noon. He'll look in on his way up to the Western.
Good. Now, fresh clothes.
Filing cabinet, sir. Top drawer.
Of course. Where else would they be? God.
What are you doing?
Montgomery? Oh, it's you, Sarge.
You should have left the answer phone on.
No, just idly conversing. You know, global warming, the recession bottoming out, stuff like that.
Oh,
I'll have to get out this. No, it's okay, Sarge. Just juggling two conversations. Yeah. You know I'm on back shift. Yes? It must be... What? Oh, well, if that's what the DI says, who am I to argue? What's the flat this time? Torchman. Jesus. Right, I'll be there. Give me an hour. Right, half an hour. Okay, Sarge.
Oh, Malcolm, for God's sake.
Sorry, Pet, gotta go.
Oh, whatever happened to the long, slow descent, eh? Malcolm?
Well, you're early. What happened? Did her husband have the day off?
Oh, very funny. Donahue's pulled me in to chase up some non-existent license plate.
Ah, look on the bright side, Malcolm. If it exists, you'll be a hero.
Yeah, for all the 10 seconds. Yeah, maybe. Oh, you're used to chippy. You cracked it all on your own, eh? Hey, listen, you want to get some Titan lessons, that's pitiful. What is that, anyway? Torchman 3, I presume?
It's a report. I'm working up some stuff that's coming from scene of crimes. You up to speed in this yet?
Yeah, Kilbury Street, same victim profile, same MO. That's as much as I know.
Well, wait till you hear this. They found a container that was used for the petrol. A screw-top iron brew bottle, would you believe?
Yeah, I believe. So what?
Hold on. The bottle was found at the bottom of the victim's hall cupboard, where it had obviously been put back, was covered in dust. And a clean patch on the floor where it had been standing before this torchman guy used it.
Abernethy, what's this leading up to, eh?
Well, just this. Unless the old man was in the habit of keeping petrol in his cupboard, The iron brew bottle must have been planted there sometime previous.
I don't get this. You mean this guy had access to the old man's flat, maybe even knew him?
Well, that's what it looks like. Do you know what makes you think? I mean, my old man's a bit leery because of my job, basically, but most people wouldn't even think to ask. My guess is the torchman guy knew him.
Nah. Surely not. Have you run this one past Donahue?
No, I've told the sergeant. He's advised me to write it up, but the DI's got wall-to-wall experts at the minute. Dr. Reynolds is giving him the post-mortem report, and he's got some university boffin lined up at 2:00.
How do you mean?
Well, there's a Dr. Peter Reed coming in, Strathclyde Uni. Something called a forensic psychologist.
Well, I suppose somebody's got to go on with the real police work. You're a jammy sod, Abernethy. Make us a cup of coffee while I pick some brains down at Swansea. If I can find any.
Yes, a horrible death. Told as many tales as a victim I examined yesterday. I take it this is Torchman's handiwork as well.
That's the newspapers. I knew I should have done something. The press have got hold of the notion that there have been 4 Torchman murders. In fact, there have been 3. I should have got out a press release.
Well, the deceased in this case Died of reflex cardiac arrest.
Heart attack?
Yes. I'll send a full report to you as soon as it's typed up. I've a wee problem there at the moment. I was on my way up to the Western, so...
Yes, well, I'm very grateful for that. We'll quite happily proceed on whatever you can tell us. I mean, in some ways, it's your off-the-record thoughts that we need most at this stage.
Yes, and you can't commit those to a fax. What do they call it these days? Hard copy. Now, to tell you the truth, I'll be committing nothing to anything until Noreen, God bless her, has swallowed a few pints of black coffee and probably a dangerous amount of paracetamol to counteract whatever she had for supper last night. And the remains for breakfast, no doubt.
It's that bad. Is that not the same secretary you've had for years?
Ah, it is. And she'll be with me for years still. At least I hope so. But she can be a wee bit difficult, to put it mildly. If she'd even recognise she's got a problem...
I should think she's lucky to be holding on to her job.
Well, I wouldn't be happy working in an organisation where people were terrified of getting the sack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the health service is full of people driving themselves into an early grave. And the occasional Noreen's a small price to pay for that sort of commitment. Mm-hmm. But it's a changing ethos these days...
Mm-hmm.
I would guess her days may be numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of that, you're deceased. Sudden cardiac arrest. But not sudden enough, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
The pattern of his burn injuries indicates he was standing up rather than prostrate. No thermal damage confined to the legs, mainly.
Yes, a neighbour smothered the flames with a blanket. That probably gave him whatever small chance he
had. Well, according to A&E, he was alive but unconscious when admitted... And they injected him with morphine to kill the pain. Paradoxically, that may have been what killed him.
Oh?
You need a fairly strong constitution to withstand anaesthetic. Mm. It's surprising, actually. I can remember myself fainting in a dentist's chair when I was a student. With a lot more resources than this poor chap. Mind you, I had no breakfast, not even Noreen's kind. And when the dentist stuck the local in my gum... I went out like the proverbial penny candle.
That would have been embarrassing, I should think.
Oh, a medical student? Oh, you can bet it was. But it illustrates the risk, I think. Anyway, I'm not blaming A&D. It was a defensible decision under the circumstances, mm-hmm. but it brought on his death. The bones of his right arm were broken in two places also.
Oh, well, presumably he put up a fight, tried to shield himself.
I would think so. There's bruising on the right forearm, which would be consistent with a struggle. And he sustained a heavy blow to the skull, something like a metal bar, perhaps.
Huh?
Yet my guess is that his attacker knocked him to the ground, poured the accelerant onto his legs, set it alight and made his escape. The deceased must have got to his feet, and then the neighbour you mentioned appeared on the scene and smothered the flames. Now, I can understand the poor man standing up, but it's the worst thing he could have done. It takes real presence of mind to do the obvious thing, which is to throw yourself flat on the ground and keep rolling over. People on fire tend to lose that presence of mind.
Oh, I can believe it. So, Dr. Reynolds, anything else we should know?
Yes. The deceased left a present for us. He seems to have been in close enough contact with his assailant to have drawn blood. And a few hairs.
Uh-huh.
Scalp hairs. Light brown, mousy, I would say. And blood group O. I've sent a sample off for DNA profiling, which might be useful once you have a suspect.
Oh, indeed. And let's just hope that's before we have another victim.
Elka, you're not on your way up to see Donoghue by any chance?
Yes, I am, as it happens. He's got a 2 o'clock appointment.
I know, it's murder trying to get hold of him. Abernethy's written up some stuff from scene of crimes, and he asked me to check DDLC about possible vehicle ownership. Could you pass these across to him? So once he managed to come up with an address, because there can't be that many flowers in the Glasgow area, saving your good self, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's in Braidfall Street, nowhere near the West End, but it's worth a try. A 500-weight Marina van. You can tell him I'm on my way there now. and he'll like Abernethy's report. He'll be the teacher's pet for the rest of the week.
Okay, Malcolm, I'll do that. Anything else?
Yeah, you could always give Ray Suffolk the elbow, try the Montgomery experience.
God, you're nothing if not persistent. Get away, go on.
Spurned again. So when's this Dr. Reed guy arriving?
Arrived, actually. That's Dr. Peter Reed signing in at the desk behind you.
Huh? You're kidding. Does Donahue know?
Nope.
And you're not going to tell him?
Nope. Oh, I've got used to it over the years. It's Peter. P-E-T-A. Actually, it puts people off their guard, which can be quite useful.
Well, I hope my jaw didn't drop too obviously, Doctor. Now, I'm very grateful for your offer of help. This is a real psychopath we're dealing with, I'm afraid.
Well, I don't think we're using that term any longer. The concept now is one of moral insanity.
Moral insanity?
It's the same animal with a different name. Used to be psychopath, but that eventually had to be rooted out because it implied psychiatric illness, which isn't always the case. And that was replaced by sociopath, another American term. But that seems not to carry enough weight, so even as we speak, it's being replaced by moral insanity.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, a very quick reaction to the information you've sent me is that your man falls into a category of what we would call the disorganized serial killer.
Disorganized? In what way?
Well, an organized serial killer would have abducted the victim, held him or her captive for a period of time, engaged in torture or sexual abuse, and then disposed of the body, most likely well away from the scene of the actual murder. Mm-hmm. The organized killer would also either hide the body very carefully, or else leave it in some sort of ritual posture to maximize the shock value. Now, that doesn't seem to apply to your man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, disorganized killers, I might add, have always been male, which is what I'm assuming here.
Yes, we have witness statements that would support that. You don't mind if I scribble some notes, Doctor?
No, not at all. I'd have preferred to give you a full written report, but that would take time.
That's which we don't have.
Anyway, as to age.
Huh?
Disorganized serial killers tend to be young, anywhere from late teens to 30s. As you'd expect, much of the research in this field is American, and it's not always appropriate. For instance, the racial origin will tend to be the same as that of the victim.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not much help in Glasgow with a 95% white European population.
No, but it's a very useful pointer if you're policing a multiracial city. As to marital status, you'll be single. Disorganized serial killers always are. And his educational level will be at the lower end of the scale, an early school leaver. What the Americans call low socioeconomic status. Again, according to American research, he'll almost certainly live in rented property. But since the Americans have no concept of council housing, you might read that in our context as bedsit land. Flat in the West End, perhaps.
Ah, now, that is interesting.
Oh, good. I like to think this makes sense. Is based on empirical research, the results of painstaking observation of actual serial killers, mostly in the USA, of course, but incidentally, you don't mind if I write a paper on this when your torch man's eventually convicted? I'd want to hold on to the material you faxed me, and I respect confidentiality, of course.
No, feel free. If it's helpful to your researches, yes, please do, Dr. Reed. Now, what else can you tell us about him?
Well, in terms of his behavior, he'll be a loner.
Uh-huh.
He'll feel society has rejected him in some way, so he rejects society. He'll quite possibly have a history of mental illness. And what you would perhaps describe as some form, in the way of nuisance crimes, voyeurism, petty theft, for example, shoplifting, mugging, etc.
He'll only have form if he's been caught and charged, unfortunately.
He may also have some physical inadequacy, or at least he's likely to be below average height. Thin, rather than tall and well-built. And he'll almost certainly be sexually inexperienced. Very much a night person, nocturnal habits. The American publications also commonly refer to lower birth status, which basically means that he was an unwanted child. Probably unloved as well.
Yes. You know, I sometimes think it's the parents we should be putting in front of the courts. That's not a particularly original thought, I dare say.
No, but statistics bear that out, I'm afraid. Your man will most likely have had a poor relationship with his father, subject to very harsh, inconsistent discipline, if not systematic abuse. He'll be dry, or at most an infrequent user of alcohol.
Oh?
Oh, yes. Serial killers don't drink.
Well, you know what they say.
Quite. I'm not sure if I believe it. Other points. Well, he'll take very little interest in current affairs, the world around him, so he may well be obsessed by some historical event or other. Oh, and he's also likely to keep a pet animal. Not the sort of pet you can forge a relationship with, however.
How do you mean?
Well, not a dog, for instance, or even a cat.
Oh, what, goldfish?
Possibly. Something small, totally dependent on him. People involved in this sort of violence can also show great tenderness in other areas of their life, though normal people wouldn't call them relationships.
Yes, but then normal people don't set fire to complete strangers.
Or even acquaintances, generally speaking.
She's got to stop that, of course. Sod's law. No name. Yep, pass for the course. And no bail. What else? God almighty. Come on.
Aye. What is it?
Mrs. Flowers.
Aye. What do you want?
Police, Mrs. Flowers. Detective Constable Montgomery. Do you think I could have a word with you? It's about your son, Thomas.
Oh, him. You'd better come in.
You don't sound surprised.
Are you kidding? Always knew he'd turn out bad. Always knew it. What's he supposed to have done?
Mrs. Flowers, we just want to talk to him.
Well, you'll no get him here. Doesn't he live here?
Well, he's got a van, hasn't he? That's licensed from this address.
I don't care what he's got. Why, I suppose he did have a van. Still has it for all I know. I don't see him. To tell you the truth, I wish I'd never seen him.
Yeah, his mother, Mrs. Flowers.
More the pity, I didn't want him. My man Jack didn't want him either. See, I was past 40 when he was born. Jack was near on 50. I mean, what did we want with Wayne at that age? No, the way he was anyway. Bad bugger. About the only thing he gave a damn for was his stupid chair ball, or whatever you call it. I had one of these things. Only thing he ever spoke to that was me damn cheek. No, I was glad to see the back of him. I couldn't have stood it. No, after Jack's accident. He kept him doing, thank God, when he was alive.
Accident?
Aye. Here in the house. In the front room. He was sitting in front of the telly, smoking a fag, so they said. Caught on his newspaper. I couldn't tell you. I was in the Royal at the time, getting my hips into. Tommy said he'd just left him 10 minutes earlier. Everything seemed fine.
Really? Mrs. Flowers, you don't have Thomas's address by chance?
Like I said, I don't see him these days. Stayed out the West End, that's as much as I can tell you. He's been bad news, that boy, ever since he was born.
Hello, press office. Is that you, John? Good. Yeah. Well, listen, can you prepare a press release? Get it out as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's to the effect that there are only 3 Torchman murders, so-called. Actually, I don't think we should be playing that game in any case, but the incident yesterday is in no way related to the other killings. Yes, Quarry Bray Street. Yeah, just say that we have arrested and charged someone for that murder. Yes, come in, Ray, come in. All right, John, got that. Good. Good, thank you.
repeat, Ray.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Lad Abernethy's done a good job on this, don't you think? What do you make of this iron brew bottle? Do you agree with him? You reckon it was in the house, already filled with petrol, more or less planted there?
Yes, sir, it does seem unlikely that this torchman would just find it by accident in a whole cupboard, or that he would turn up at Muir's house without the petrol, and it's not the sort of thing he would carry around jogging through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I think Abernethy's theory offers the best explanation given the circumstances. I've been checking around some of the beat cops, and we've now got a few reported sightings of Mr. Flowers and his nighttime runs, stretching back at least the past couple of months. The East End only, though.
Yeah, I suppose you might call that some sort of cover activity. Let him get in and out very obviously, and legitimately.
Oh, to be honest, sir, I'm not surprised he's been noticed. I mean, that's bandit country. I'd want more than a fast pair of trainers myself. Plus about 30 years, of course.
Don't you mean minus? Ah, wouldn't we all? Anyway, Ray, the point is, did he plant the accelerant at all three houses? The fire did too much damage at the other two, I suppose, to have left that kind of evidence.
The other thing I was thinking, sir, the victims were all elderly men in the East End. If he could get access to their flats, maybe they're connected in some way. Sir?
Is D.C. Montgomery back yet?
No, sir. He's out at that address in Braidfold Street. The vehicle check.
And Abernethy's just about to go off shift.
Yes, sir. I've told him to catch up in his sleep, but he's very anxious to be part of it when this one cracks.
Which he certainly deserves. No, let him go. We'll bail him if anything's going down.
D.C. King's just come in. He's available.
On second thoughts, Ray, I'd like Elka Willems to chase this one up. I'm feeling a bit guilt-ridden after Dr. Peter Reed, I suppose you've heard.
Yes, I did hear something.
Yes. Okay, Ray. You brief WPC Willems on what you've told me, Abernethy's report, and your own brainwave about a connecting link. And see what a computer search I'll throw up. I think we need a bit of keyboard wizardry here.
There you go, fat man. That's the best I can do. Don't want it up too far, let too much air in, but you should be okay here. Yeah, you won't suffocate anyway. And there's fresh water, clean shavings, plenty of nuts and raisins. That's your new wheel if you want wee dog, do you like it? Eat that stuff, do you like it? Yeah, they're closing in, fat man. It's the end of an era. It's a real shame, that. 4's multiple, 5 serial, and I'm off the board. Useless, eh? Well, short and sweet, better than long and dreary. I mean, that is useless, waste of space, waste of our skin. Live long, enjoy, who needs it? Hey, fat man, how'd you like to be famous? They'll take the picture, you know. So you better keep your cage clean, eh? No messing the sideboard, right? Hey, you listening? Fat man, you'll behave yourself, right? Oh, hey, wee man, I'm not just going to hurt your life, jeez. Oh, come on, I'm only kidding. Look, here's your favourite, eh? Pine kernels, come on. Oh, look, these cost a fortune. That's it, good boy, that's better. I'm just saying, you've got to look your best, you know? I don't want you letting me down. Nah, you wait till tomorrow's paper, fat man. Front page. Like that Buddhist monk, yeah. They remember him, okay. Vietnam, yeah, he didn't stop the war, fat man. He didn't do that, but they remember him. You don't forget something like that. Hey, you listening? Hey, who rattled your cage? Oh, I suppose I'll come to terms with this stuff someday. Probably the week before I retire.
Oh, come on, Ray. It's not that mysterious.
No, I know. I mean, Wayne's got IQs and double figures playing level 10 Sonic the Plumber. It's a piece of cake. I know, Elka. That's what depresses me.
Well, it's the way of the world, old Sussex. Sonic the Plumber, really.
Ah, maybe it's your world.
Oh, that's enough. No whinging. Not with a long weekend coming up.
With Torchman still on the go? Elka, love, much as I'd appreciate a long weekend, I think at the moment that's one of my less achievable fantasies. I'll make level 10 before that happens.
Hmm? I thought we might make level 10 Saturday morning, maybe.
Uh-huh. And who's going to get up and make the breakfast?
Oh, Ray! You're so Scottish.
Look, look, take a look at this. This is interesting. Move over.
Right, okay, okay.
Now, William James Muir.
Uh-huh. Hmm?
9 Tilbury Street, Garn, Gad. Reported mugging, theft of wallet and pension book, September 27th. Okay, got that?
Yeah, he didn't have much luck, old man Muir, did he?
No, and nobody was charged for that one. Now, look at this. Timothy Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
221 South Surf Street, Bridge Dunn. Reported theft of cash, July 18th.
Ah, sub post office. Probably walked outside counting his pension.
And nobody charged.
Yeah, the dark side of the completion rate. No, wait a minute. Wait a cotton-picking minute, WPC Williams. What about the other one? The first Torchman victim. What's his name? Keegan? Have you got anything on him?
No, not so far, but that's got to be worth something, surely.
Well, maybe all it's telling us is that an awful lot of old men get mugged in this city, and that we don't always catch the perps.
Maybe. But you're looking for somebody who could get access to these old men's houses.
What? You think there's a connection between them getting mugged and access to the Torchman? Is this what they call intuition?
Right, that's it. I'm finished. But when you checked out all the meter readers and the pools collectors and the betterware brushmen...
You forgot the Avon ladies. No, seriously,
Elka, You might just try the social work department, because that's where I would go if the police couldn't help me. Wouldn't you?
Uh-huh. I'll send DC King right now.
Yeah, I should think there's enough in there. What do you reckon, fat man? 2 litres, half a gallon? Damned if I could ever work that stuff out. There's enough, that's the main thing. I mean, when you see what you can do with a pint. Oh, fat man, you want to have seen it, no kidding. But I'll tell you this, you're not going to miss this one. Ringside seat, you'll love it. Well, it'll be a historic event, won't it? Same as that monk. He just sat there, didn't he move a muscle? Maybe that's what it does to you, what do you reckon, eh? Nah, it takes something special to just sit like that. And you'd be going crazy round your wheel, wouldn't you? Running your legs off, getting nowhere, eh? You want to try it, eh? You hear that? 2 litres. Plenty for both of us. Nah, I wouldn't do that to you, would I? Hey, what did I say about no mess in that cage? Oh, come on, fat man, relax. Don't worry, you're safe. Safe as houses. It's funny to think this is the last building I'll ever be in. This is the last room I'll ever stand up in. Last room I'll ever torch. Torchman, the final frontier. Yeah, here I stand, broken hearted. Yeah, I like that. I think I'll stand rather than sit. That monk's absolutely still, but that's their culture, isn't it? No chairs in the houses, just mats, the lotus position. No, I'll stand and keep still. That's the thing. Absolutely still. They'll remember me, all right. Yeah. We'll give them nightmares. Hey, fat man.
Victim support. Yes, that's one of our areas of responsibility. Can I ask your name, sir?
It's a police inquiry. I'm Detective Constable King.
Oh. Well, what is it you want to know, Mr. King?
I'd like to know, first of all, if you've had a Mr. William Muir on your books at Tilbury Street.
I'll just check. Is this fairly recent?
Yes, and there might be another name, Timothy Marshall of Dalkirk Street, if that's in your list as well.
Well, Muir certainly is. He was referred to us after he was mugged about 2 months ago. What was the other name again?
Marshall, Dalkirk Street.
Ah, yes, yes, we have a note of him, but I don't think anyone's seen him for a while.
No, that'll be because he's dead.
I'm sorry?
Look, could you tell me if Mr. Muir was being visited by anybody?
Yes. We have a volunteer, a young man. I think he's a student or else unemployed, wanting to do something constructive with his time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with us a good few months. He's very personable, particularly good with old people.
What's his name?
Flowers. Tom Flowers. Not a common
right.
name.
His address, please.
Well, I'll need to look it up.
Well, go on.
All right, just give me a minute. I've got it. Thomas Flowers, 19 Hamilton Park Drive.
19? Are you sure it's not 11?
Well, 19's what's on the card, Mr. King.
God almighty.
Yeah, it took a long time to keel over, that monk in Saigon. I suppose when he lost consciousness. Do you reckon? Hey, fat man, don't go to sleep on me. Let's have a bit of moral support here, right? What are these? For a robe. What do you think?
Well, they should be saffron. Okay, but I didn't pick them. I'm sick looking at them, to tell the truth. Well, I won't have to see these again. So, how do I look, fat man? Julius Caesar, what do you think?
Well, they'll do the job when the time comes.
Yes, as you say, it could be coincidence, but I think we're due some luck. That's good work, Elka. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Still can't believe we had him in our hands and let him go. I mean, 10 minutes after the murder.
D.I. Donahue. Yes, hello, D.C. King. Yes? Yeah. Are you serious? Right, Richard, make your way straight there. And don't go in until we get there, right? Right? Good? You're never going to believe this, Ray. Cock-ups right from the word go. Mr. Flowers, victim supporter, no less, doesn't live at number 11 Hamilton Park Drive. He lives at number 19. Right, call Abernethy, get him out of his bed if need be, and let's go there.
Okay, it won't stop him, I know. I'll make it worth the while, though.
Yeah. Between you and me, fat man, I think we like a wee bit of demolition. I told you. They're closing in. I wonder what hell's like. Hellish, eh?
Fire is open up, it's the police! Open the door! Mr. Flowers, can you hear me? Mr. Flowers!
Yeah, I can hear you. You'll need to come and get me. I'm making a point here.
Something down by the entrance. Okay, Tony, move over a bit. Hand up your hand. Mr. Flowers, don't do anything stupid now. Let us in. Mr. Flowers, clear that door.
Man, I told you, you've got to make them work. Okay, that's us ready. 2 litres. Super unleaded. Oh, God, it's cold. Oh, I wouldn't believe it. Jesus.
It's all right, Mr. Flowers. It's all right. We can sort this out. Now, put the lighter down. I don't do anything stupid.
Don't come near me. I'm soaked in it.
Tom, put the lighter down.
Not till you promise me. You'll promise me 2 things.
Name them.
You'll promise me you'll take care of him. You'll take care of that man.
Yes, Tom, yes, we'll take care of him. Just put
and the
lighter
second,
down.
The second promise.
Yes.
You'll never forget this. Let that monk. You'll never forget this. No!
Oh, Jesus.
In Torchman, the part of Detective Sergeant Ray Sussock was played by Jake Darcy. D.C. Abernethy by Andrew Conlon, and D.C. Montgomery by Frank Gallagher. D.I. Donahue was played by Crawford Logan, W.P.C. Elka Willems by Eliza Langland, and P.C. Hamilton by Martin McCarty. D.C. King was played by Liam Brennan, Dr. Reynolds by Gerard Sleven, and Susan by Rebecca Hawking. Crewman, James Twaddale. Fire Officer, David Goodall. PC Piper, Paul Sampson. Dr. Reed, Rose McBain. Flowers, Finlay Welsh. Tina Chapman, Louise Beattie. Chapman, William Armour. And Mrs. Flowers by Kay Galley. Torchman was written by Peter Turnbull, dramatised by Stephen Mulrine, and recorded on location in Glasgow and in our studios in Edinburgh. Technical presentation was by Jim Ross, Lee MacPhail, and Anne Dyack. The director was Hamish Wilson.